Hello, and welcome to Cubicle Confidential, weekly advice for the working stiff. I'm Chris DeSantis, and let me introduce my co-host, starting with S's, the sensationally savvy and salty Mary Abijay.
Well, good good morning to you too. Hi everybody, I am f***ing Mary Abijay and I'm here to rock this shit. Now that, my friend, was salty.
That is salty. Oh my god, my blood pressure went up.
Well, hi everybody, let me introduce to you my co-host, the savory, the savvy, the sometimes salty, but the always stately, Chris DeSantis.
You got four S's in there. That was great.
I got four S's. Because you're kind of salty too sometimes.
I can be salty. Although I think if we're going to have a contest, I think you are saltier.
Oh,
saltier.
Dude, I'm winning that contest. Oh, yeah. Hands effing down. I don't know.
I wonder how that's going to come up in the final version of that. I wonder if it's just going to be beep, 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 beep.
It will be. Or maybe Jack will let one slide through. You know, it's Chris Marlowe that hates the swearing. I don't think Jack minds. I don't mind, but.
I don't mind swearing. I like swearing.
Oh, yeah. My husband hates the swearing.
It's punctuation.
And I know we've talked about this before, but someone just did another book or article around salty vocabulary. And I was listening to an NPR and I meant to send you the link. I'll have to go find it. But it said, really smart people know how to swear well.
Yes, they do. And I think it's an expression, allows an emotion to sort of, you don't have to say the emotion.
It's punctuation
or exclamation to some emotion.
And it's creative. And it's about keeping it real. And that's the subject for today, keeping it real. We have three questions today, all around questions around how to make something real, like be authentic, be true to yourselves, keeping it real. So that's what it is today. Before we get there, Chris, we got a really nice note from a listener about a past episode.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
So remember the episode was pretty recent where somebody had cats in there because
the cats came to work and they were in his cubicle all the time and he wanted them gone.
Exactly. So we get an email from signed the cat lady. And I was that was the subject line. I was a little afraid to open it because I thought we were going to be taken to task, like we were anti-cats or something. Right. But she wrote a really sweet note. She said, hi, Mary and Chris. A quick note about your most recent episode and the cat question. I am a cat person, but I can completely understand why someone wouldn't want one at their place of business. That being said, one of the best ways I found to curb certain behaviors with my cats is using canned air. You don't have to spray it anywhere near the cats even, and it doesn't make a mess, but they absolutely hate the sound. It would be a very easy and explainable way to deter any feline friends from visiting your cubicle. Love your show. And then she signed your name.
So canned air is that thing you use on your computers to push dust away?
I think so,
away?
Yeah.
Oh,
but
that's
so sweet. So thank you, cat lady, for sending us the note. Her first name's Amanda. We won't give her last name, but that was really sweet of you. And we have now shared your suggestion with everybody.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, I still, cats are attracted to me for whatever reason, and I don't know, but I have such an allergic reaction to them.
I know. And I do too. It's the dander. Yeah. Anyway.
I wish I could maybe had a middle, a mini canned air that I can carry around.
Mini canned air. Yeah. But cats are really cool. I'm too allergic to them.
Yeah. They're interesting. Although I have a friend who has one. They do a lot of damage. They like to claw stuff.
Yeah. Well, dogs can do that too, though.
Oh, they do? Okay, I haven't had a
dog
that
dogs can eat your
that.
Slippers and, get into the garbage,
Yeah, that's true.
But,
that's
true. Dogs are just dogs, so you love them anyway.
Exactly.
All right, are you ready for our first question?
Yeah, let's do this.
Okay, so this one is funny because this one is about punctuality. I want to be really super punctual. But speaking of punctuality, when I talk about managing up or figuring your people out, I always ask people, I put people into three categories of punctual proclivity. And one is the punctual, where when I say meet me at 12 noon, I'm going to be walking out the door at 12 noon, right? So on time is on time. Mm-hmm. Then you have your hyper punctual, which is when I say meet me at 12 noon, I'm really going to be there a quarter of, and I'm texting you at 10, I'm going, where the hell are you? Like hyper punctual.
Right.
And then you have your, what I call your concept punctual people, which you say meet me at 12 noon, and they're going to stroll out anywhere between like 10:15, 10:20, because you know, time is a little more fungible.
That's anyone from Southern Europe.
Exactly. And so if I asked you, Chris DeSantis, what's your punctual proclivity? Which one are you?
I'm hyper.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm hyper. I don't like to be. I don't like to be hyper. I like to be on time, but I can't help but being early. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
I'm the same way. And it's been a big problem.
About.
Like Chris and I, Chris Marlowe, not you, Chris, listeners, my husband's name is Chris. We'll go out like every Friday for like date night. And I'll say, let's leave the house at 6 o'clock. You know, we always call an Uber because we do like our cocktails. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, at 5:30, I'm calling the Uber, which gets there a quarter of because we live in the city. And every week he's just like, what the hell? You said 6 o'clock. And I'm like, dude. We've been married 27 years. Like, I am hyper punctual.
I like it because I know I'm never late. You know, then I get anxious if I'm by the way, if I'm on time, I get anxious.
Me too. I think it's a sickness.
I think it's a problem because most of my friends, or not most of my friends, but a lot of my friends that are not on time, they're not. And they're always late, but yet I'm still sitting there alone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it doesn't seem to bother them. And the other thing that drives me crazy is like when I travel, even though I have a TSA pre and I have clear, still the airport way early, but I cannot stand the thought of even remotely stressing about catching that flight.
I'm with you on that. I always act very surprised. Well, I'm always surprised when I see people running through the airport.
I know, me too. Well, I'm surprised and judgmental. I'm always like,
I'm
dude, too. You could have left a little earlier. Why are you like, you know, you should, I know.
Although I have been grateful to people because there have been situations where I've been in lines where, look, I'm not going to make this flight if I don't get past these people.
Yeah.
And people actually are pretty gracious, you know.
They are.
You know,
I would always let someone in front of me.
If they ask and there's a reason for it.
And you know, I usually
I've read about this. You don't even have to have a good reason. You could say something as simple as, well, because I want to get ahead of you. And they'll go.
And they'll say yes.
And they'll say, as long as there is a reason, you have the ability to most people will acquiesce.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yes.
You know, when I flew into Vancouver, was it 2 weeks ago? You know, you go through the immigration, mm-hmm. and then you go through customs. And so, so everyone's like getting their luggage and they're filing this big, huge line to go just hand your slip of paper to somebody. And I didn't have any luggage. I was just walking through. And so I just joined the line and this mm-hmm. Little Australian woman, by little, I mean short in stature, but, you know, probably in her 30s, she with her big, booming Australian accent is yelling at everybody to get in the back of the line because she's been waiting in line and people like listen to her. Like, I only got behind her so that she couldn't yell at me, but it was just like part of me was very admiring of her, right. Like, let's keep this like civil people, let's all follow the rules. And part of me was like, who the hell are you to like tell us what to do? So it was a very mixed emotion.
I was in fact, I was coming back from Vancouver as well. And I got into the whatever those, you know, the immigration lines. I got into the wrong one. And so I was weaving and weaving and weaving. And I got up there. Finally, I got up there. And the guy said, hey, you're in the wrong line. I go, oh, no, what do I do? I don't know what to do here. Well, he said, did you do this? I said, I don't know what that is. Because he was telling me all these things I should have done. Then he just said, forget about it. You're done. Go. And I thought, what? This is how we do it? We
this
play dumb and we get through?
This is how terrorists get into our country.
Exactly. Okay, people. When in doubt, play dumb.
All right. So are you ready? Oh my gosh. Look at this. We've wasted so much time.
No, we didn't
waste it. We're two hyper punctual people. All right.
Exactly. That's true.
All right. So you ready? Let me get the question up. This is from Time Matters in Tempe.
Dear Cubicle, I need your advice. My boss is always late to our team meetings. I mean like 15 to 20 minutes late. And when he does show up, he never acknowledges that he is late and acts like the time he shows up is the time when the meeting was supposed to start. This means a meeting scheduled for 30 minutes ends up taking an hour. He does the same thing for our one-to-ones, and sometimes he doesn't show up at all. No explanation, no apologies. It's very frustrating. We're a busy office, and this lack of punctuality is a total time suck. I'm relatively new to the company, so I'm not sure if this is normal behavior or not, but it's driving me crazy and feels disrespectful. How can I raise this to my boss without getting on his shit list? Signed, Time Matters in Tempe.
Well, okay. I don't know what kind of business this is. It's interesting that this person hasn't been there long enough. So I think part of this is learn the lay of the land. I guess that would make sense to me. But this notion of, I mean, I'm in her camp. If I'm hyper time efficient as you are, this would make me nuts.
Nuts.
Because not only would I be there waiting 20 minutes, I'd be there waiting 35 minutes because I've been there 15 minutes before anyone showed up. So I think one of the simplest things you do is just schedule your meetings 15 minutes earlier for him.
Ooh, I like that.
And then tell everybody else, okay, we're going to start at 2:45, tell him, and then everyone else, we're starting at 3. And so my point would be, he's never going to be late. He'll always be on time since, in fact, he shows up at a meeting late. So that's one way to do this. I think that's another. Another way to do this is every once in a while, have a guest who is in a higher level of authority than him in the firm. And then let that guest take care of it. So in that sense, if you have his boss's boss or somebody else who's a VP or something come to the meeting saying, well, I thought this is a seat, just invite them, but don't mention it. And this person shows up 20 minutes late. This guy's going to, or this woman's going to say, what's going on here? So yeah. Now, if the person says nothing about what's going on here, or if the senior person doesn't show up till there's 20 minutes late anyway, then in fact, you know, it's a cultural thing.
Yeah. I was going to say, because you need to find out whether or not it's a cultural thing
exactly.
Or whether it's a this boss thing.
Because there is the illusion here of busyness.
Yeah.
See, busyness is sometimes confused with productivity. And so if I look busy, and by one way of looking busy is not being able to attend the meeting when everyone else is at the meeting. So when I show up late, it says, look how busy I am, but I'm still here.
Yeah.
So it implies something that may or may not exist. So maybe that's a norm at the firm. So
yeah.
Anyway, that's what I do.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think those are great pieces of advice. I think, first of all, I would talk to if you're relatively new, I would talk to the other members of your team.
Oh, yeah,
and
great.
Find out, like, is this just me or is this just like, is it the company? Is the culture? So talk with the team. I think solving this problem is a better team sport than individual sport, right?
Yeah,
so I think
agree.
Like get together with the team. And, you know, there might be lots of reasons why he's late, he or she or they are late. It could be because, like you said, it's like the illusion of busyness. They may be really bad at their own time management. They may have too much on their plate. Mm. Or it might be just a power play. So lots of reasons.
Yeah.
So try to keep your mind open for what it might be. I love your idea about telling this person like the meeting's at 3:15 when it's really at 3 or whatever, or vice versa.
3:30.
But that's the other thing you could think about. If you find that this boss is running meeting to meeting to meeting, then instead of starting your meeting at 3, literally start it at 3:15. Like give that, I know a lot of companies that are doing that now. They're starting meetings at like the quarter past the hour instead of on top of the hour to give people like breaks throughout. It's like give people like windows between meetings. Does that make sense?
Well,
yeah.
Yes, because I've heard a similar thing is that they start the meeting they start the Zoom event at 3.
Yeah.
So anyone could come on and just chat it up, but
yeah.
The meeting starts at 3:15.
Yeah, exactly. So you could try something like that.
Yeah.
And again, we don't know whether these are in-person meetings or virtual meetings. So
right.
If it's an in-person meeting, you know, or even a virtual meeting, why are you sitting there with nothing to do for 15 minutes? If you know this joker's going to be late,
yeah.
You know, like you and the team could spend some time like resolving things that you need to resolve or talk about, or just if it's virtual, why aren't you just still doing your email until the meeting starts? Like, so take responsibility for using that time well that you know is instead of letting it be wasted. My other idea would be you could, of course, talk to your boss, right?
Yes.
And you could say, listen, you know, I do this very respectfully, but we've noticed that it's hard for you to make our meetings on time. Would it be easier if we scheduled a different time? Like talk about it
right.
With that person or say to your boss, let's say if you were my boss, Chris, I'd be like, hey, Chris, I've noticed that it's hard for you to make our meetings on time. Do you want us to go ahead and start without you? Or should we wait for you to come? Or should we check in with you a few minutes before the meeting to see if it's still working on your schedule? Something
you know,
like that.
I like what you're saying. You know, you could also do, because building on what you've said, Mary, is that you can send him the agenda in advance and you say, which of these items do you need to be present for?
I love that. I love that.
And that way he'll say all of them or he'll say these ones. My guess is he'll say these ones.
Yeah.
Because now I will, and put in the email, I'm doing this because I can schedule, we can handle some of this material in your stead and not bother you.
Yeah.
So in that sense, he only shows up for what is important.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's a great idea. The other thing you could do, and this gets a little more passive aggressive, so the first two buckets were around, you know, acting like a mature, you know, responsible adult. Right, the next two are going to be more Machiavellian, which I'm surprised that you didn't come up with, Chris.
I went with a Machiavellian with invite somebody on the senior level.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That's true.
That's pretty Machiavellian.
You could show up for meetings late as well. Just start showing up late. Just start showing up 15, 20 minutes late. Or you could schedule another meeting right after the scheduled meeting, right? So let's say you have your team meeting at 3 o'clock. Schedule another meeting at like 4 o'clock and make sure that meeting is with somebody important, that when your boss says, what are you leaving? And you're like, I have this meeting with your boss or this client, someone like that. So
I wonder if they can create a 10-minute rule. Like if everyone isn't here within 10 minutes of the meeting, we either start it or we end it.
Yeah. So I think they can do that, but they're going to need the boss's permission for that.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
the challenge. This is the boss that's the problem. You know, which is another thing that you could do for the one-on-ones. You could, I don't know if this would solve it, but if you have a one-on-one, and those are important meetings for your boss to keep, you could email him, her, or them in the morning and just say, hey, just a quick reminder that we have our one-on-one at 1 o'clock. Is this time still working for you? You know, just like doing extra kind of coaxing and reminding.
You see, I don't know if this guy is intentional to your point or if it's accidental.
Yeah.
Because if it's intentional, it's a power play.
Yeah.
And I remember one of the firms, it wasn't a firm, it was a company. And the owner of the company, whose name was on the product, as it were, he would have these design meetings that he wouldn't show up at till hours later. And no one was allowed to leave until he showed up. You weren't allowed
That's
to leave.
That's just bullshit.
It's total bullshit. And it was in one of those towns where it was a one company town. So there were no other jobs to take. You either had to work for them or you didn't live, you know, you didn't have a job. And I thought, what an abuse.
That is horrible. You know what? You're right. That is actually abusive. That is abusive and disrespectful of people's time. And that's because you and I are hyper-punctual. So we see misuse of people's time as disrespectful.
Right. It is disrespectful.
So I was doing, one of the things that my company teaches is we teach facilitation skills, how to run good meetings, as I'm sure you do too. And I was working for this law firm once, just teaching them some basic facilitation skills. And the head managing partner guy says to me, Mary, you know, this is such a great class, but really need your help on starting our meetings on time. And I'm like, why? What's going on? He's like, well, we never start our meetings on time. And I was like, I made a big show of like thinking very deeply. I said, well, have you ever considered this? Have you ever considered starting your meetings on time? And he's like, I don't know how to do that. I'm like, you're the big boss. Like, start your meetings on time and don't recap for people who show up late. And I even know clients that when they start the meetings on time, if you are late, you don't get in the meeting. People start showing up. But it's just so funny to me. The head guy and he's like, I don't know how to do this. I'm like, oh my goodness.
In manufacturing, they are much more stern in this. And what some of them will
it's
do is they'll
time
lock
is
the
money.
Door.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll lock the door.
Yeah.
Don't make it in the door, you know, you don't get in.
All right. So managers, as we wrap up Time Matters in Tempe, managers, if you are going to be late for your team's meeting, either give them permission to start or at least let them know you're running late. Everybody needs to be a little bit more respectful of people's time. Am I right, Chris?
Yes, I think so. I mean, we're in this together again.
Again.
And by the way, as they sit there, there's a cost.
Yep. Oh, yes.
There's a cost.
Yes, there is. The meeting cost calculator. We'll give you a link to that. Are you ready for your next one?
Yes.
Okay, everybody. This is from Makeup Free and Happy to Be Me in Maryland.
Dear Mary and Chris, how important is it to look good for virtual meetings? Here's the situation. I work in the marketing recruiting department at a big law firm. We are in a hybrid format. Mondays and Fridays are remote, and Tuesday through Thursdays are in person. We have a standing Monday morning team meeting on Zoom. I have two small children, and on our remote days, it is my responsibility to get our kids to daycare. So I usually join the meetings, makeup free, hair in a ponytail, and wearing a hoodie. Everyone else on my team, especially my boss, always looks great and completely done. I'm starting to worry that my undone look might affect my chances at promotion. I've only been with the firm for about a year, most of which was totally remote, so I'm not sure whether or not this is an issue. I know that this is uniquely a female problem, but I also know I'm not the only woman who struggles with this. What do you think? Signed, makeup free and happy to be me in Maryland.
I can't wait to hear what you have to say on this.
Yeah, this is all about impression management. That's what this is. And that's what this is. And so what's interesting is I'd have more space in which to play in terms of my view of what she could do if she weren't in the marketing recruiting department at a big law firm whose boss always looks fabulous. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's an expectation in impression management of the department as exemplified by the person who you work for. That is the expectation set. You showing up as in this capacity, and you are new. I think you said you're new, right?
She's less than a year.
Less than
a year? About a year.
You have no street cred. And you've been remote only. Nobody knows you. You have no street cred. They just see this young woman who looks harried on screen, and they're wondering, now she's getting in front of the law students at law school. Is this the person we're sending? Regardless of your competency, this impression is rather rapid, and they're going to have it of you in this particular instance without, again, any evidence of your contribution. Now, having said that, eventually in life, you will be able to establish who you are, and then you have a larger place to play if the powers that be in the firm who are responsible for your job realize your contribution. And the only other way you can expand this is if there are other partners at the firm, females in particular, who also have children, who are also in this situation, who can then, I would say, appreciate what you are going through in a day-to-day. But quite frankly, part of your job description, while it's never going to be written, is you got to look good. You got to look good.
All right. So basically, your advice is suck it up and put some makeup on.
I'm not saying you have to put, I'm saying that if you get the right lighting, you get the right, you know, you can, I think what's interesting about this is her boss looks fabulous. If she's a young person, you don't have to do all those things to be fabulous. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can sort of, I think a ponytail could be quite quite elegant. I think put some pearls on, lady. You know, I don't care if you just have a t-shirt, but that sort of jazzes it up a bit. My point is you can look better than you might think you do without having to think you're going to a prom.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I came at this. And first of all, I want to say to make up free and happy to be me and Marilyn, I feel your pain about this so much because as a woman, I feel a lot of pressure to be made up when I'm going to be on camera with my clients. And even like definitely if I'm going to be giving a presentation, of course, I have no problem with that. But there'll be some days where I'm remote and I have literally one client Zoom call. And the idea of having to do my hair and makeup for one fucking call just makes me angry and bitter. So I feel your pain on that. And I think this is a pain that men don't have. It's something that we women,
although they should have, because I've seen some real.
But even like, but we'll, I'll talk a bit about the good lighting and things like that. But even so, you don't really have to put on mascara or blush or lipstick or do your hair because, Chris, you don't have any hair.
That is a problem.
You just have to check for boogers. That's literally all you have to do. So my first thought on here. Makeup free is that you don't actually know if this is a problem or not. So you might want to check with your boss or some of your teammates to see if the impression you're making is as bad as you think it might be. Like you don't know this is a problem. You're just suspecting it might be. So you could also, to Chris's point, take a quick video next time on your next Monday and see like when you're done with the meeting and see how bad you really look. Because if you're young, you may not be looking that bad. You may be looking just fine. You know, as Chris was saying, part of the game here is to employ really good virtual practices for the virtual meeting. Yes. So the lighting, the camera angle,
right.
Really make sure those things are spot on. By the way, if your meetings are on Zoom, check out the Zoom filters. They can smooth out stuff. They can even add lipstick on you. Like they do all sorts of groovy things. They can fix your eyebrows. Like they can do some really nice things, these Zoom filters, and it looks totally normal. A dab of lipstick, as Chris said, or a little bit of blush takes 3 seconds. That can do a lot. You're young. You probably look fabulous. I don't care about the ponytail either. If you think the hoodie isn't good enough, keep a work shirt in your office.
Yeah,
I have like two that are just hanging in my office. I throw them out of my PJs and bam, I'm done.
Get yourself some sweater sets.
Yes. I mean, just like something quick. And you know, when you're in the office, because you're hybrid, so you're there Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, I would say when you're actually in the office, make the point of making sure your boss sees you looking fabulous. Right?
Oh, I like that.
Like,
that's
really,
really good.
Like really, because that's where people are going to see you and they're going to be, and they know you have small children, so they don't expect a lot.
Yeah, no, I like that.
Look fabulous. And I think really, and I think we talked about this in a previous episode, it's really also about the energy that you bring into these meetings.
Yes.
So yeah, so you may not have done a lot, but you also don't want to look harried, or you don't want to look rushed, or you're barely making it to the meeting. You know, show up like confident, calm, good, focused energy, and people will forget what you look like or what whether or not you're wearing mascara.
I think that's all really good advice. I also thought too that look at her colleagues, because there is a comparison here.
Yeah.
How are the other young colleagues that are in the same role as you appearing? Since this is a big law firm, you're going to have a lot of them.
Yeah.
So that is how you should look. And like to your other point, you are representing, you're recruiting young lawyers probably. So in that sense, you might want to stay closer to the younger side of fresh than the manicured side.
Yeah,
or overly manicured.
So makeup free, go ahead, be makeup free, but keep it tight with everything else.
Yeah. You got this, but don't be a mess.
Don't be a mess. All right, Chris, we have one last question, but we're very short on time. So this will be a challenge for both of us to be succinct. Are you ready?
Yes.
Dear Cubicle Confidential, my coworker is a pro at kissing our boss's ass. What advice do you have for a novice kiss ass like me? Is this a good strategy for getting ahead? How much is too much? How can I kiss some ass and still keep my self-respect? Signed, To Kiss Ass or Not to Kiss Ass in Alabama.
Wow, this is a very hard question. First of all, I'm not a fan of ass kissers anyway, but I understand your point here. You're seeing somebody who's having success in the office as a consequence of not what they do, but how they are treating the person they work for. And you're saying to us, that seems to be a strategy that is helping them get ahead. That's the assumption I have to live with. So my point would be what is genuine to what you can say about the person that you work for, that you appreciate and admire? What is genuine to that? And what are the things that they are doing that help you do your work better? So if you're saying, wow, one of the things I love about you is you explain what work needs to be done. You're very thorough about it. And I really appreciate that. Now that, if that is true to what is happening, you should be saying that, because that way you get them to repeat that behavior again. So my point would be, if you want to play the game, play it better than just a typical ass kisser who says, oh, you're fabulous, but rather point out what are the things that they are doing that are real in that sense. And then you also are tying that to what you want from them going forward. So you're being Machiavellian and Pavlovian at the same time.
Chris, well said. And I think the key for what Chris said, and by the way, this is hard for me to speak to, because I make a point of saying managing up is not about sucking up.
Yes.
But so I want to be really clear, people who don't write me letters, I will say this. I think Chris is right. When you pay a genuine compliment or you show a genuine piece of appreciation, that is not sucking up. That is being kind, considerate, and respectful. Remember, bosses are human, and nice. All humans like a little appreciation. Everybody appreciates the compliment. The point is, as Chris said, is it has to be something genuine. It has to be something that's true and real for you. And also find out, like, some bosses really like the adulation, some don't. If your boss does like adulation, then make sure you're keeping it genuine and real. You don't have to go the whole hog, but a few well-placed words of appreciation or acknowledgments go a long way, especially if you are really, as Chris said, very specific about what it is that you admire or like about that person, they will really feel heard and seen and valued.
May I add one more thing just before we sign off on this? The most interesting people are interested. So what you should be doing is asking your boss questions about what they've done, how they've done it, and ask for advice. Yeah. And listen intensely to the advice. You don't have to take it, just listen intensely. People feel better about themselves of having shared some of the things that they have learned and knowing that there's an audience who's interested.
Most everybody likes talking about themselves, right?
You know it.
And you know, the last thing I'll say is that you didn't say whether or not your boss was a good boss or not, okay, or whether your ass-kissing colleague is just making up shit or if the compliments are real. So to where Chris started with his answer was, you know, you've made a big assumption that your colleague is doing well because he is, yes, he or they are an ass kisser. You don't even know that. So also take a look at how good of a work you're doing. And also, I'm also wondering whether or not you have a little oppositional defiance disorder, because you seem very resistant to giving your boss any kind of compliment. So take a look at yourself as well. And don't be afraid to give a compliment. Giving a compliment does not make you a kisser of asses.
Right.
Speaking of kissing of asses, I think we
salty.
We need to kiss this episode good night. So Chris DeSantis, as always, it's been fabulous being with you today. I would like to thank our amazing, overworked, underpaid executive producer, Jack Edinger, for his amazing production qualities. If you have a workplace question or cubicle dilemma, please give us a shout. Nothing's too easy. Nothing's too salty. There's lots of ways to reach us. You could email us to info@cubicleconfidential.com, tweet us at cubicleconfide1, or connect with us on LinkedIn. Chris DeSantis, Mary Abajay. We are everywhere and easy to find. So until next week, work hard, be kind, and keep it real. See you next time.